Hey, and welcome to Leader Feeder. I'm Suzanne Jakes, here again with Kirk Langford. How are you, Kirk?
I'm good, Suzanne. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing actually so well because the end of the week is donut day.
Oh, yes.
Friday, how many donuts are we all bringing for the team?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, for our American listeners, we need to go to Tim Hortons and get a 12-pack. So for our American listeners, Tim Hortons is our, go-to donut place here in Canada. But What are you partial to? What's your favorite flavor?
You know what? I think an apple fritter. Which some people kind of laugh at because technically it's not a donut. Right.
There's the big debate about fritter versus donut.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But I do like an apple fritter. What about
Fair
you?
Enough. I would say, so I feel old saying this because when I was a kid, this was the not cool donut flavor at all. I always wanted a chocolate dip or a Boston cream or something. I love just a sour cream glazed.
No
just
way.
Delicious. That little bit of crunch.
That's what my dad likes.
That's what I mean. That's what I mean. Right? Well, there we go. You have it.
Today's topic on Leader Feeder is how to manage a multi-generational workforce.
And how to buy donuts for multi-generational teams, obviously, right?
Yeah, make sure you get a lot of those old traditional
sour
glazed.
Sour cream glaze, yeah. Exactly, yeah.
For the dads on the team.
Exactly.
So what do you think is the biggest communication challenge that leaders might have with a multi-generational team?
Yeah, so good question. I'd say the current biggest challenge at the moment is that we have a lot of, there are still baby boomers in the workforce, mm-hmm. right? And there are still Gen X in the workforce, and they are getting older. They're getting a lot closer to retirement age. Mm-hmm. And yet a lot of leaders in organizations are not baby boomers, and they're not Gen X. They're those up and coming frontline leaders, which is of course our the folks that we work with the most. They are millennials, and even some Generation Alphas. And so I think what we're seeing is that we have young leaders, people in their 20s, maybe early 30s, having to lead teams of people who are older than them. And they find it a challenge because I think in a more traditional sense, it's sort of like the older person is the leader mm-hmm. and they get to kind of say what happens. And so if you're 25 mm-hmm. or, even early 30s and you're leading someone who is 50 or 60, I think we struggle to know how to do that effectively. And that would be probably, I would say one of the biggest issues that we're seeing is how do younger people manage those older employees that aren't yet retired and are kind of near the end of their careers.
Mm-hmm. So then what, in your opinion, is a good strategy for these leaders to use?
To manage them, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's a strategy that I would say strategies that probably apply to any leader, not just young leaders managing older employees on your team. I'm going to go to my iPad because I want to show you this table, right? This is a table that we use in our frontline leadership training courses when we talk about motivating a multi-generational mm-hmm. team and how to work with multi-generational teams. So we quickly in the course go through the different generations that are currently in the workforce. And mm-hmm. so that's primarily, of course, you can see here we got our friends, the baby boomers, right?
And our listeners, I just want to say, you can grab this link. Just if you want to follow along with
we're
going to
have it in
table.
The show notes and we'll have it in the blog post as well. But yeah, so you've got baby boomers who are primarily born, of course, between 1946 and 1964. Okay, and then if we jump over to our friends Gen X or Generation mm-hmm. X, those are folks born between 1965 and 79, more or less. Our Generation Y, which are, of course, our millennials, they're born between 1980 and 95. So, Suzanne, that means you and I are both, of course, millennials. We're not going to specify where in that range we are, but we're millennials.
Super proud.
Right, middle of the line. And then our last generation, or our most current generation, is, I believe I called them Generation Alpha. Of course, that's the very new generation. I meant to say Generation Z earlier, Generation Z for the Canadians.
Oh, I'm sorry. I also didn't catch that.
That's
Pardon
all
me.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we've got these, four different generations all working together. And I think one of the biggest things to keep in mind when we're dealing with that is that just because somebody is part of a generation, it doesn't mean that they will behave like everybody else in the generation. Mm-hmm. So I can go to the baby boomers and I can read this helpful info. And again, for our listeners, I hope you do take the time to do that. I think it is quite helpful. These are guidelines. These are trends, right? These are not saying that every baby boomer has a strong work ethic and dedication. Every baby boomer prefers structured work hours and hierarchical organizational structures. what we're saying is that these are trends we've noticed from one generation to another, right? And so what's important in dealing with anybody from any generation is that you can use these as guidelines, but take the time to get to know the people on your team so you know whether or not they fit into these sort of molds or not. And maybe the other thing I would mention, if I draw a bit of a graphic here, is that if we think of this time on a spectrum here, right? We've got the early end being the 1946, right, which was our baby boomers. If I jump up here, right, and then if I jump down to our most recent generation, the Gen Z or Gen Z, it goes all the way to 2010. Okay, so we've got quite a long range, and in that range, we have overlap, right? So for example, we've got the boomers. The boomers kind of go maybe from here, maybe over to here. Right. And then the next generation, we've got them maybe kind of going here over to here. And so we have to be careful that we don't assume that just because, again, you're a baby boomer, you only fall into this area, or just because you're Gen Y, you fall in this area, because we see that there is definitely overlap. Right. So if we look there, there's going to be overlap. Or if I drew the next generation, the next one, there's more overlap. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's important to remember that even though somebody belongs to a particular generation. And these are helpful guides to know maybe what they value, how they've influenced the workplace. You see some motivational factors and then a leadership approach that they appreciate. Not everybody fits into that. It is more of a spectrum than a black and white kind of list of guidelines to follow. And so you want to keep that in mind.
Great. So one of the things that we know from generation to generation is the use of technology.
Yes, right? That's a big one, yeah.
How would you leverage one generation to another and maybe bridging the gap between things like technology?
Yeah,
And I mean, like, when it comes to, like, the machines and stuff. Sure, manufacturing, of course,
machinery.
Right?
Like, I mean, it could even come to things like using our phones or computers or what have you.
Right.
It almost doesn't matter, right? Technology is in one way, technology is technology. So, what I'd say there is, I'm going to sound like a broken record, but the first thing we're going to say is don't assume that your younger employees are more tech savvy than your older employees.
That is a true
Absolutely.
Statement.
I mean, a very personal piece for me is that my cousin works in IT, and so he's very well versed in technology, and he's almost 60. So you don't think of him as being the guy that's going to fix your phone, but because he spent his life in tech and is very, very techy, compared to, you know, my cousin who's 10 years younger than me, she's terrible with technology.
Right.
I remember she was in college, and she was asking about how to save a file in I think it was Word, because she'd been so used to autosave, and for some reason I think autosave wasn't working,
right.
And she had no idea how to save a file, and I was like, what? You don't know how to click save on a file. So it was foreign to her. And so we sometimes have this assumption that younger people will be better with technology.
And even so, me, for example, coming with a chef background, being trained in culinary, we didn't definitely, aside from MSN, Facebook from high school.
MSN Messenger,
that, I went right out of high school not even touching a
with
laptop,
much tech,
right?
Yeah, with like, much tech
I
background.
I mean, the only thing I ever really had to do was maybe type up a recipe or
two.
Yeah,
fair enough.
I mean, I don't even consider myself that great with technology.
Yeah.
And with this job now with you guys at Unique Training and Development, I've been learning a lot.
Yeah, for sure,
it's
for
great.
Sure.
Yeah, and you've helped me a lot, actually, with that, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's been fun,
you're always
open-minded.
I can use a shortcut on my keyboard.
So what you're bringing up is kind of the answer to my question there, which is great. And it's that it's more about people's willingness and openness to learning rather than actually how good they are with tech. So, I mean, the obvious answer to your question is if you have someone on your team that's techie and kind of gets technology and enjoys it, it's great if you can have them help teach the people that are less tech savvy on your team, right? Using that empowerment of, hey, you know, Sophia, you're really great with this technology. You really understand how this machine works and kind of what the kinks are that we need to figure out with this machine. Can you work with Jim to help him understand it? Because he's struggling. That's the best thing you could do, because that's empowering your team to work with each other and it's helping them collaborate. But also, if you don't necessarily have anyone on your team that's really tech savvy, because that can happen, look for people that are kind of open-minded, adaptable, open to change, because they're probably the ones that are going to adapt technological changes or advancements sooner and quicker. And then they can usually be the ones that help the folks that are struggling a bit more adapt as well. So you introduce a new piece of software, for example. And there's a couple people that you'll notice really picked up on it early and kind of got the point right away and understood how to use it and were maybe even providing feedback on how to use it and some ways they'd like it to be used better. Use them to help teach the people that might be struggling a bit more because they clearly have a bit of an ability to understand it a little bit faster mm-hmm. and better. So they could be great people to leverage that curiosity, leverage that adaptability to help them bring other folks on board. And keeping in mind that, you know, technological advancements, but also any kind of changes or advancements, there is a practical component. Sure, there's we've got to learn how to use this new software. We've got to learn how to implement it. We've got to learn how to use it. But we've also got to get people on board with this is a good idea. Mm-hmm. Because in the workplace, when we introduce changes, not just technological, but all kinds of changes, we are often dealing with resistance to change, resistance to buy into the change. Mm-hmm. And so if somebody is what we call an early adopter, meaning that early on they were like, yeah, let's try it out. Let's do it. Let's, you know, whether it's technology or not, mm-hmm. Use your early adopters to try to get your other team members on board to say, hey, this isn't all bad. We can adapt to this. We can do this. Yeah. So working with multi-generational teams can also be a little bit of mastering change management and leveraging those early adopters on your team for those that might be a little bit more resistant to change or be the ones that want to wait until they see how everything pans out before they really buy in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Speaking of buy-in and maybe some change happening mm-hmm. in your organizations and the different generations on our teams, what might be your top tip for frontline leaders to gain respect and to get that buy-in to create teamwork? Mm. Because with all this change I shouldn't say all this change, but if you're going to be implementing changes and, you know, trying to get buy-in mm-hmm. From, you know, different generations or in that fact from anyone
yeah.
on your team,
yeah.
How would you get them to buy in and respect that decision no matter the generation?
Yeah. I think part of it is leveraging, making the multi-generational differences be seen as a good thing rather than a weakness. Be seen mm-hmm. as, hey, this means we have a bit of diversity on our team, which is not a bad thing. We've got different people with different levels of skill, different amounts of experience. So we've got some people near the end of their career and what can they offer in terms of experience and education for us? People near the beginning of their career, how can they help, right? Everybody comes to the table with a different perspective, different experiences, and that's a great thing. And so if we could help our team see that that having a multi-generational team is a positive thing. Yeah, sometimes we're going to have conflicts because an older team member might disagree with how a younger team member wants to do something or vice versa. But it doesn't have to be bad. And it doesn't mm-hmm. mean that we have to look at that conflict and be afraid of it. We can embrace the conflict and say, hey, this means we have different opinions. This means we've got different ideas. And that's a great thing to have on a team. So let's talk about how we can use this to our benefit. So I think the first part is getting your team to see the multi-generational team as a positive dynamic, a positive thing rather than a negative. I think that's a big part of the strategy because otherwise it becomes very quickly becomes an us versus them mentality, mm-hmm. the younger people versus the older people,
right.
You know, the boomers versus the millennials. And we want to avoid that.
Yeah.
Because the other thing we want to keep in mind is that, yes, we have people from different generations on our team, but there's probably a lot more things that we actually have in common rather than the things we don't have in common.
Great point.
So what I mean by that is, yeah, I'm a millennial and you're a Gen Y. That differentiates us, right? That makes mm-hmm. us different. But there are probably lots of other things that we both actually like. Oh, we both like the same kind of movies. Oh, we both are interested in the same kind of work. Mm-hmm. We both used to work in similar fields before we came to this job. So there's lots that brings us together and unites us. And so, yeah, if we focus on our multi-generational differences, mm-hmm. right, we might see ourselves as very, very different. But if we strip that away a little bit and we see that as a strength and then go, and actually we have a lot more in common rather than what makes us different, we see ourselves as working on the same side, as working towards the same goals and as part of the same team. So those would be two strategies that I think leaders can take home, which is, again, just to recap that, help your team see the multi-generations as a strength by mm-hmm. explaining that, you know, different generations bring different experiences, different ways of solving problems, different ways of addressing situations, and then also helping them understand that there's also a lot more in common rather than focusing on the fact that we're from different generations. Focus on what we have in common and how we're all trying to work towards a common goal, which is getting the work done, being a productive, successful team.
great way to end this leader feeder, unless there's something else on the top of your mind that you wanted to say.
No.
But yeah, what a great way to end it. Thanks so much.
You're very welcome. Yeah. My pleasure.
And thank you for joining us today on Leader Feeder. I hope you have a wonderful day, and until next time.